Good morning. Let's pray. Mercy upon us, O Lord. Grace be upon us. The words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you. Pray in Jesus' name. Good morning again. Today is the start of Missions Month. So let's begin with that. Missions Month. We start with missions. What is missions? Simply speaking, missions is all those activities that we do that helps us to accomplish our mission. Right? Simple enough. Missions is actually a bunch of activities that we do, hopefully helping us to accomplish our mission. Okay. Then we come to the word mission, right? Missions is supposed to accomplish our mission. So what does mission mean? Mission, okay? The task that is given to us, our goal, our end point, the end point that we're trying to target at, that is our mission. That is the meaning of mission. But the question then becomes, what is our mission? Okay. What is our mission? In order to answer that question, and since we are believers, followers of Jesus Christ, worshippers of the Almighty God, it is helpful, it is necessary for us to first consider what is God's mission? Okay. What is God after? What is God's desire? What is God's heart? What is the one thing that God is wanting? What is the one thing that God wants? Okay? So, well, he wants two things. Okay, he actually wants one thing in two parts. First part is this, he is very jealous. He jealously guards his name. Okay, that's the first thing. God jealously guards his name. And the second thing is zealous. God zealously desires for his name be known in all the nations. Okay, so the two things, if you can remember, would be God's name, and number two, the nations. Okay, let's start with name. I think name is easier. Hang Ting Pai. Graduates nowadays cannot find job. But if I have got connections, don't worry, I can get you a job. But if I get you a job, if I pull you in, you better work hard. You don't drag my name down in the mud. Okay? You come early, you go back late. You perform. Don't dishonor my name. You don't spoil my reputation. You don't bring down my honor. That's a name. Next is nations. How about nations? What do we know about nations? So the two things, right? God jealously guards his name and zealously desires for his name to be known among the nations. Okay, so the second word, nations. What do we mean by nations? Nations does not mean countries. Countries, we have 195 of those. Nations, we have plenty. Anywhere from 12 to 17,000. 12 to 17,000 nations? Yeah, right. Because in the Old Testament and the New Testament, when we talk about nations, in the Old Testament, we use the word goyim. In the New Testament, we use the word ethnos. Ah, that's quite familiar. Ethnos, our English word ethnic or ethnicity. So nations is not about countries, political entities, no. Nations is about ethnicity. In order for us not to be confused about nations with countries, we sometimes make use of the word or the term people groups to denote nations. Okay, some more definitions, some more words. What is a people group? Okay, I'm a simple kind of guy. No definitions, but you think of it this way. A few of us, we are like each other. So what you do is you pull another guy into the group and you ask the group, this one, is he one of us? The group look at him, yeah, he's one of us. Okay, we pull him in. Then we pick another guy. How about this one? Is he one of us? Yeah, one of us. Okay. Then you pull a third guy. Is he one of us? No, this one not us. Push him out. So the people that you gather with you, these are your own type of people. A shared culture, a shared language, a shared understanding, a shared history, a shared heritage, and so on. Let's do a negative example. We Chinese are famous for that. Yeah? We Chinese are famous for that. We. They are the Yapun Zai. They are the Homo Guai. Right? The Cantonese is even worse, right? Even among the Chinese, they distinguish. What the Hai Tong Yan. But worse, you look at the other dialects, you say, wow, Hai Nam Lo. Okay? Them, not us. Why is this idea of people group important? To explain that, we need to think in terms of two things. We need to think in terms of fire and water. Okay? More specifically, we need to think in terms of charcoal fire and water in a pond. Okay? Let's start with water. We take a stone, we throw it in the pond. We assume that this side of the the pond. We throw a stone, we throw it in the pond, and the ripples start going out. Okay. It will go out and out and out until it reaches the edge of the pond. Then the ripples will stop. It goes no further. There are barriers. Okay. The same thing with the gospel in a people group. You throw in a gospel stone, okay? You make a disciple, okay? You start a church, and the disciple makes two more disciples, and they make two more, and two more, and two more. Or the church that is planted plants another church, and another church, and that church plants another church. And it goes on and on and on until it reaches the edges. Yeah, where the aisles are. And then it goes no further. There are barriers, real barriers, social barriers, language barriers, political barriers, cultural barriers, language barriers. You don't understand each other. Cultural barriers, even if you share the same language, you use the same word, but they have somewhat different meaning. There's misunderstanding. Historical barriers. Your forefathers killed my forefathers. We don't talk to each other. One group looks at the other group. You are not us. And the gospel spread stops. That is our understanding of people groups as water in a pond. The gospel spreads until it encounters another people group, and then it stops spreading. Okay, but for the gospel to spread, not as easy as throwing a stone. A little more difficult than that. For us to understand that second part, we need to think in terms of fire. Okay, like I said, charcoal fire. If I want to start a charcoal fire, I cannot just stick a matchstick, throw it into the charcoal, and then walk away. What will happen to the matchstick? It'll fizzle out. Okay. In order to start a charcoal fire, I need a lot of TLC, tender loving care. I need to start with a small kindling, I need to start with a small flame, a start small spark, and then slowly, slowly TLC, blow, fan, until it becomes a small flame. And from that, I need to fan it further until it becomes a big flame. And for after that, I need to fan it until the embers are hot. Maybe when it's red hot enough, I can let go. So the same thing for a people group. The same thing for the gospel in a people group. When the church is too small, when the disciples are too few, the gospel flame cannot continue to spread unless they get outside help. Okay, so we come to a very important concept in missions thinking. Those people groups that require outside help, this group on my right, you are known as the unreached people group. Unreached as in not rich, as in not there yet. Yeah, children will ask, Daddy, are we there yet? No, we are not there yet. So you haven't reached them for the gospel of Jesus Christ. UPGs, unreached people groups. These are the people groups that without outside help, very difficult to sustain the spread of the gospel. On the other hand, on my left, you have a group of reached peoples. It is a people group that if the foreigners walk away, no problem. They can sustain the spread of the gospel by themselves. They have enough resources, they have enough of a critical mass of people and churches that they can actually spread the gospel on their own. We should be pouring resources, I think you will agree with me, into the unreached. But sometimes we continue to pour it into the rich people groups. Here lies our problem. Our problem is not with the Great Commission, but our problem is with the great imbalance. What are some of these? Let's start with money. Worldwide, individuals keep about 98% of income for own use. We take the balance of the 2% and we give it to Christian organizations, institutions of any kind, 2%. These Christian institutions will take this 2% and use about 80% for their own use, leaving about 0.1% for cross-cultural missions. Okay, 0.1% worldwide cross-cultural missions. Now, when I say cross-cultural missions, it includes cross-cultural missions to unreached people group as well as to reach people groups. So how do we distinguish the two? Worldwide, churches typically use 87% of their budget for domestic needs. 12% of the church budget goes towards a reached people group. Only 1% gets channeled to the unreached. Let's clarify something. This is not wrong. It's okay to budget for domestic needs. It's okay to budget for administration, staff, building sinking fund, and so on. Nothing wrong with that. It is not about a right or wrong. It is about an imbalance. Okay, let's continue. Something else. How about human resource? When a young person in the church says, "Here am I, church, send me." What would you say to him or her? I don't know about BKC, but for my church, we will, youth pastor. Okay? We won't send him out. We will keep him for ourselves. But if we do send him out, if the church sends out a cross-cultural worker, okay, sent out from internally to externally, and not just outside, but across culture to a different people group. 80% to 90% of cross-cultural workers who are sent goes to reach people group. Only 10 to 20% of all cross-cultural workers worldwide are being sent to the unreached, those that need outside help. Bible translation. There are about 7,000, slightly less, languages in the world. As of this year, not too bad, quite good. The 800th Bible, complete Bible, was reported by Wycliffe Bible Translators. That has been translated, not too bad, above 10%. Okay. Yet, at the same time, there are over 500 translations, versions of the Bible in English alone. NIV, KJV, NASB, ESV, The Message, The Good News Bible, New Living Translation, and so on. Plenty, plenty. I'd like to read from a couple of Bibles to you, for you to compare what they sound like. Very simple. NIV, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." NIV. Let's try a KJV. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Compare the third version. Seit Kai Tetu, John 3:16. Did you hear that? No, neither can the Sayyid Kaikatu. They don't have a Bible in their language. And yet, for us, we continue even with one single version, so many types. Hardcover, softcover, paperback, leather bound, gold trimming, red letter Bible, rainbow version, Bibles for boys, Bibles for girls, teen Bible, children Bible, men's devotional, women's devotional. The list goes on. Our Lord Jesus, around the time of his final week, before the crucifixion, went into the temple courts. And when he saw that the outer court was full of merchants and money changers, he made a whip out of cords of rope, and he chased all the merchants and all the money changers out of the court, outer court. My question for us today is, what made our Lord Jesus so angry? I mean, you think of the Lord Jesus meek and mild, but here he is whipping people, angry. Why so angry? Boss, why so angry? Small matter only what? But angry. What does the Bible tell us? My house shall be called da 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 da, but you have made it into a den of thieves. My house shall be da da, but you have made it into a den of thieves. If you said, my house shall be called a house of prayer, you are half correct. The full verse that Mark quoted from Isaiah is, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations. And see, it's easy for us to forget the nations. The temple in Jesus' day had several courts. The biggest one was the outer court. Think of National Day, yeah? National Day Stadium. The outer ring, the biggest part, court of the Gentiles. It is where God had divinely appointed that space for the Gentiles to come and pray to him. It is meant to be a blessing, to bless the nations, the people groups. But the Jews kept that for themselves. Maybe the Jews remembered that God's house is a house of prayer, but they certainly forgot that it is supposed to be a prayer for the nations. Is the church any different today? In our liturgy, our order of service, the sequence of events during our Sunday service, we have an item called intercessory prayer. Prayer can take several forms. One form is supplication. God, please help me. I supplicate. Another form is intercession. God, please help him. God, please help her. I intercede for you. I intercede to God on behalf of you. Intercession. In a group setting, I pray for you, I intercede for you. You pray for me, you intercede for me. But in a group setting, if I pray for you and you pray for me, and we continue to do that, as a group, we are only doing group supplication. we aren't praying outside of our group. Well, on Sunday, our prayers of intercession very often sound like prayers of corporate supplication. We pray for ourselves, we pray for our ministries, we pray for our church, and so on. I'm glad to hear that as Pastor Ji-yong led the congregation just now, yeah, that you were praying for the nations. Thank you for doing that. Don't stop. Of the many imbalances that I've mentioned, I believe that the greatest missing link is in the area of prayer. I believe my assessment is not very far off the mark. Our Lord Jesus, when he noticed that the harvest was plentiful, but the workers and the resources were few and imbalanced, told his disciples to pray. Not to tithe more, not to go overseas more, not to organize committees and conferences more, not even to preach, but to pray. How then shall we pray? I venture three ways. First one, ask for stuff. The Lord Jesus tells us that actually. Ask for more workers. And in particular, maybe I emphasize, ask for more workers into the unreached people's group. Ask for God's protection for our missionaries. We'll talk more about that later. We can ask for God's mercy to be upon our unreached people groups. Ask of. We don't just ask for stuff. Lord, this is what I want. Gimme, 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 gimme. We give him our shopping list. This is our agenda. Please bless our agenda. No. We ask of him. God, what is your agenda? What is your idea? We don't know whom to send. Okay. How about that intern? Shall we send him? We don't know which people group to reach out to. How about that one? I don't know. Let's listen to what the Lord has to say. We don't know what form ministry is supposed to take. Let's listen. When we say, thy will be done, it is not just about, okay, we have to say this because it's in the Bible, thy will be done. But after we say, thy will be done, our shopping list comes out again. Ask for the difference. When we ask of the Lord, we also need to pause enough to listen to what he has to say to us. A third way to pray, sitting at the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ. Tell you a real story, so-called. My son just got married. Well, not just, but yeah, about a year. They have moved out. I miss him a lot. Okay. To be fair, I miss them. No, I miss him. Yeah, I miss him a lot. But they're very good. This young couple, very good. Not only come back every week to see us, they also go to grandfather's place, Wai Kong, not only, yeah. So every week. But somehow, I guess, my guessing is this, I miss him more than he miss us. Okay? I should know. Because as I thought about it, and I was missing him, I pondered about it, I thought, wow, we were also like that when we first got married, my wife and I. We would dutifully go to our parents' place and visit them once a week. But I think now that in hindsight I reflect upon it, they were more happy to see us than we were to see them. And as I reflect upon it a little more, I think it's the same with our Lord God and our Lord Jesus. Yeah. He's just so happy that we would sit at his feet and do nothing, just to enjoy his presence. Yeah. But no lah, I'm dutiful, I'm disciplined. Yeah. 7 minutes with God. Okay. Quiet time. Very disciplined, very dutiful. But quite different lah, huh? If like me and my wife, sometimes just enjoy being in the same room, not talking to each other, but breathing air from the same space. Okay, maybe me lah, I don't know about her lah. Sit at the feet of our Lord Jesus. Enjoy him. If we don't enjoy him, what are we going to bring to the nations when we tell them, hey, this God, yeah, you need to know him, you need to enjoy him, you need to reflect him. We can't do that. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and be still and know I am. The full verse. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Sitting quietly at Jesus' feet is not at odds with reaching the nations for God. In fact, I think it is absolutely necessary. Let me illustrate further with a story of four couples in the Philippines. The first couple we met is from, well, not the first couple, the first couple that I want to talk about. This couple was from our field training days. We were being trained before we were assigned our role, wherever it was. A very gentle couple and polite couple. Gentle not only to us and polite to us, but to each other. Not like us, all of Singaporean. Okay, in my mind, I'm thinking, wow, must learn from this couple. Okay. Second couple that I'd like to share with you about is when we arrived onto our field of assignment, our assigned field. Husband was a pastor, used to be a pastor, gave up his job as a pastor so that he could help Bible translators bring God's word to those people who were unreached, who did not have the word of God in their own language. It has come to my knowledge that both of these couples are now divorced. In a different country, in Cambodia, we worked with another couple. They have been in Cambodia many years, dedicated their life to the work there. Even adopted a young boy, small little boy, and brought him up, groomed him to, with the desire to take over the ministry. About 10 years ago, they too got divorced. A young couple from the UK was assigned to take over their duties. We spoke to the new couple, told them to guard their marriage, not just focus on work, important though it was. A few years back, this fourth couple also got divorced. Third party was involved. It was another woman. His wife ran off with another woman. If you're sitting there thinking, wow, these people, may I remind us, these people are us. We are in the same body. If one part of the body rejoices, we all rejoice. One part is sad, we are all sad. How do we pray? You know the verse from Malachi 1:11, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Lord's name to be praised. Yeah, but in this case, the Lord's name got dragged into the mud. Name got dragged into the mud. Actually, the full verse from Malachi 1:11 is this. From the rising of the sun to its setting, my name will be great among the nations. And in every place, incense will be offered to my name as a pure offering, for my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. My friends were so focused on reaching the nations, on reaching the unreached people groups, that they forgot about the name. God's name to be lifted high. How then shall we pray? Okay, my time is up, I must end. God is after one thing, two parts. That his name be known and honored and enjoyed and reflected in all the nations. Do not think that we can achieve God's mission for him by our own strength. If we are to have any part in God's mission, we must pray. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy upon us, sinners. O Holy Spirit, teach us to pray. Teach us to lift your name high in all the nations. Heavenly Father, we sit at your feet and just bask in your presence. Thank you.